All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Stanley Cup quarterfinals. Bruins beat the Hurricanes 4-3. Islanders defeated the Capitals 4-2. The Avalanche beat the Coyotes 3-0. The Flyers got past the Canadiens 2-1. And the Canucks won against the Blues 5-2. Several game twos tonight. Blue Jackets versus the Lightning. Blackhawks versus the Golden Knights, Hurricanes versus the Bruins, and Flames versus the Stars. And finally, the North Carolina Aquarium in Pine Knoll Shores said employees drained the waterfall, which for 14 years served as a wishing fountain for visitors seeking to trade their coins for good luck. The aquarium said employees sifted out about 100 gallons of coins, as well as objects including eyeglasses, toys, and jewelry. They said employees do not yet know exactly how much money was removed from the waterfall. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
That won't be happening next week. I'm sorry, my microphone was not on because Mike was too busy farting with the computer back there, because we are not terribly professional with our sports updates. And so we're losing our sports updates beginning next week.
I was actually company standard.
I was actually happy to hear Christine Lisi. I used to do Sunday morning radio in my home by myself with my dog, and Christine Lisi would do the update. So I was excited to hear that she's going to be a part of what we are doing. It means less content, of course, because we're perpetually in a spot where we have shrinking around here. You may notice that beginning August 17th, everything around us is going to sound a good deal different than us. So we will be here from 10 to noon, but we're excited, Eastern. We're excited about some of the other stuff around that as well, where we'll be able to do a local hour. You could check out today's with David Sampson. It was really strong. There were a couple of revelations in there I was not expecting at all. And we will have a podcast exclusive hour as well that's going to debut next week. Like, among the things we're going to do, fans of this show should be excited about this part of it. Like, next week we're figuring out how to, you know, watch a game with you. Watch a game with you away from here, maybe a Heat playoff game or something as the playoffs ramp up beginning next week. So there are a number of things that we're going to get to next week that we will tell you about next week. But I don't have a lot of confidence that we're going to actually execute any of those things, because we are a marching band to nowhere. And so for many months, Stugatz, like, this has been something that we just walked away from because we get distracted sometimes, or at least I've walked away from, and then Mike goes on paternity leave. But we had this wonderful thing we were in the center of, where Dana White and I were working toward fighting each other. And I want to give people all of the backstory on this, because they may have missed all of it. But this goes back away. Stugatz, in our history doing this show, how often have you ever heard me like invite someone to fight on the air? How often have you heard that?
I want to say maybe a half dozen times. Maybe
name another one, because I couldn't remember it off the top of my head. Maybe you and Cody, I have threatened to fight.
Yeah, but that was playful. The only time I thought bleep got real was with OJ McDuffie back in the day.
Oh, that was real, actually. Oh. Yes, we've cleared that all up.
I'm glad for you guys.
So am I, given that O.J. McDuffie has told the story of trying to get into a fight with Daryl Gardner, realizing Daryl Gardner had 150 pounds on him, and so he went out to the Dolphin parking lot and went to his car and got his gun! That is a good football fight. I am glad that
you would have taken him, though.
O.J. McDuffie was known as somebody who might have taken anybody, with or without a gun, for people 150 pounds heavier than him. Nobody wanted to mess with that dude. But here's some of the backstory here, because I don't think people actually know what happened in that interview and where it went sideways. I mean, we have been we have loved Dana White forever. I mean, he's been to our Miami studios. He's been through here for Highly Questionable. We were talking to him a lot before mainstream people were talking to Dana White. And what happened during that interview is I was trying to do an interview with him that the MMA media doesn't do with him, and he doesn't talk about money, about where it is that his labor is underpaid. And I knew it was tricky subject matter, and this is what else I knew that I don't feel like the audience is privy to. Like, I had signed already human resources paperwork that basically puts me a strike away for violating company policy from all of that Trump stuff 12 months ago, talking about racial divisions. And so the one place I've thought, Stugatz, that I might actually get fired here is if I run afoul of one of these corporate partners, an NFL owner who doesn't like what it is that I've said. Because ESPN has these partnerships with these giant money-making corporations, and Dana White doesn't get asked questions like this about how he makes his money. And during a pandemic, he's making monster money for this company at a time most people aren't. He's got a heavyweight fight that a lot of people are going to watch on Saturday. So I knew my line of questioning was going to be bothersome and agitate him. And so at the end of it, because I know I'm a strike away, and because you remember what happened with Manfred, Manfred's baseball, like, you remember what happened there. Like, I was afraid that something was going to happen where I ran afoul of Dana White again within our company. Already happened one time. We were doing an interview with Tony Kornheiser, and evidently that's where he got mad at me, I think, because we've always had a good relationship, and all of a sudden it went sideways. And next thing you know, he's on with Halle Berry on SportsCenter, and it escalates to this place after that happened on the radio.
Last week on the Dan Le Batard Show, Dan seemingly challenged you to a fight for charity. How serious do you think Dan is about doing this, and what's your response to that challenge?
Dan Le Batard is a big mouth. He's all talk and no action. And I can promise you, if he's even remotely serious, it ends very badly for him. But I will give you this. Dan Le Batard, if you are serious, I'll put up $250,000 for whatever charity we come up with. And we can do it, pal.
Okay, challenge accepted with big money, too. Dan Le Batard, you have 24 hours to respond.
Not big enough money, I'm afraid. You're going to need – I'm the headliner there, Stugatz. I might not be – he said himself, a lot of people would want to see me get knocked out. A lot of people – nobody wants to watch 50-year-olds fight, but a lot of people would want to watch me get some pain. And also, Stugatz, I believe this is a bit of a no-win position for Dana White because he's supposed to beat me. But right. If I catch him with something – If I catch him with something, Stugatz, seriously, that video is eternal. Like, people are expecting me to take a beating. I've seen the betting odds. People were taking – I was plus 550. That's an overwhelming underdog that underappreciates my weight advantage and my smothering tactics.
Oh, I just thought that was your weight advantage.
What if you catch him with something? What's going to happen? First off, I doubt you can catch him, but what if you catch him with something?
Imagine the video. Imagine the video. So anyways, my brother has made some fight posters, leboart.com, if you want to see what Frito Ortiz looks like and an old-timey fight poster. But because we don't finish anything around here, Mike goes on paternity leave. And so, Stugatz, was it three times I asked him for an update and he said the call had been scheduled and then moved? Like, they couldn't even execute a call on this. Where are we with this fight?
Happy to report that the call did happen and the fight is not happening.
Yeah. Oh, for the love of God.
They cited some sort of liability or nonsense.
For him?
What do you mean?
Like, the lawyers are protecting him. I'm going to break this dude in half. Disney's holding me back. Like, lawyers are holding me back. His bald head, I will crack it open if lawyers let me.
Yeah, I that's what was happening. The lawyers wouldn't let you drag Dana White.
I want to hear more about these smothering tactics, because the only thing I imagine you smothering is like nachos with cheese.
I'm not giving away the game. I'm not telling you what my game plan is with Dana White. I'm telling you that I've imagined over the last couple of months just internet footage going viral of me catching him with an elbow and all of a sudden just him spritzing blood from that bald Lex Luthor head.
But that's your strategy? What if I catch him with something? Like I have a puncher's chance?
Well, this is unbelievable. Why can't we execute
anything?
You could always
fight him unsanctioned. Like Rocky where? Five style.
Like where? Am I allowed to do that? Am I going to get in trouble when this guy who's making so much money for ESPN, I harm him and put him in the hospital for a month?
Look, it can't be on ESPN television. It can't be in the Octagon. But who's to say ESPN isn't in charge of a back alley behind the Clevelander, Dan?
Oh, we could get the clicks from that, like a Dirty Kimbo Slice video on Reality Kings.
Miami street fights.
Paid that man his money.
Call Icy Mike. Call Icy Mike, who runs Reality Kings, and see if he'll film it and put it on his site. Just a big dirty fight in a literal Clevelander alley.
Look, I given my discussions with ESPN and the litigious history of one Dana White, I'm led to believe that Dana White put a stop to this behind the scenes.
Advance Auto Parts. Look, man, Stugatz, it's a fireable offense. If in this climate I take out ESPN's big moneymaker by cracking his head open, I don't blame the lawyers for protecting him on this one. I don't. Bear Grylls going to be on with us at noon Eastern. TJ Warren going to be on with us 12:30 Eastern. A tweeter writes in, you can always tweet us at Lebatard Show. A lot of crying emojis in my face here, laughing in my face, this tweeter saying, Lebatard Show wanting to put the dirty video of him and Dana White fighting on Reality Kings while not knowing it's a porn site.
You don't get the show.
All right, so you know some of this backstory here because it's been a little bit weird with MMA and Miami. Kimbo Slice, a long, long time ago, the late Kimbo Slice, ended up on the cover of ESPN, the magazine, and basically it was at the advent of the internet on a porn site where he was a bodyguard for some guys. He would have these street fights, and that's how Kimbo Slice went to the mainstream as a like a whispered secret on the internet. He existed. His fights existed on this porn site. Again, Icy Mike, Reality Kings.
Yeah, his handlers were people in the porn industry.
Yes, that is correct. And Miami and Kimbo Slice sort of went together. And then since then, birthed weirdly from those same streets is Jorge Masvidal, who then ends up growing. Like, he learned at Kimbo Slice's knee. Kimbo Slice is credited for discovering Jorge Masvidal, and now he turns into what it is that you see in front of you now, the former baddest MF.
No, right? That title wasn't on the line.
Oh, it wasn't on the line.
He's still reigning.
He's still the reigning. All
defending.
Right. Okay,
and
that
still.
Title. So the other title was on the line.
Yeah.
But that title was not on the line. I thought Usman said he was going to put it in his closet with stuff. Like, he was going to take that belt.
That was
and
a
put
non-title
his,
fight.
That's fair enough, actually. I'm willing to make that a non-title fight as well. So there's a fight this weekend, though, that I got to imagine that people are going to be interested in. Dana White is saying that it's for the greatest heavyweight of all time. And my initial objection, this was like when Mark Jackson said initially that Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are the greatest shooting backcourt of all time. He said it before they'd gotten out of the second round. And so I was like, get out of here. And then I'm like, wait a minute, who's better? So who's better? And so when Dana White says this is to decide the greatest heavyweight of all time, Stipe and Daniel Cormier, I wanna argue, but it's hard to argue. Daniel Cormier has been a good champion. And Stipe was a good champion, and their two fights have been good heavyweight fights.
Randy Couture maybe would be the argument,
but Couture's winning the title at like 44 years old with a broken leg, right?
Right. UFC really met its apex in popularity as Randy was getting older, and I think he dropped the belt to Brock Lesnar at UFC 100. So a lot of like of the ardent supporters of the UFC now that are a little bit younger probably don't even remember Randy Couture all that well.
Actually, one of the first money fights that Dana White had was with Randy Couture. It makes me wonder if Dana's leaving him out of that conversation, at least in part, because he was one of the first fighters to expose that these guys aren't very well paid.
But why do you want to fight it so badly? Why won't you just accept that maybe this is it? Maybe this is exactly what Dana is saying it is.
Oh, just because you know me. I don't make those decisions on one night, one punch. Like, that erases the... Like, Daniel Cormier's resume doesn't change for me if one punch catches him on Saturday night.
Yeah, and Dana is in fight-selling mode, but it's actually a pretty good take. I'm with that. And Daniel has a legacy that he needs to protect some because he runs up against these guys. He's so excellent against everybody else. But with Stipe and Bones Jones, there's a mountain to climb there. There's a he can make his career, and it's been a brilliant career if he wins this fight and lay claim to greatest UFC heavyweight ever.
I am interested. I know you make fun of me, Stugatz, because I go technical on stuff. But one of the reasons I've always liked the carnival barking of Dana White in that particular sport is because I just love so much the arts in MMA. That to me, it's my favorite part. Seeing the arts fight against each other is why it has eclipsed boxing for me in terms of something that I like to watch. And the specifics of Cormier had Stipe for two full fights. And all of a sudden, Stipe just realizes, tired, in the fourth round. Both those dudes stripped down to just their vulnerability. It's like one of the bravest things that fighters do, getting into the Coliseum and doing that, stripped down to their courage. Cormier had him beat, was just walking into his punches, pawing at him. And Stipe figured out, no, if I hit him in the right side with body shots, I'm going to crumble him. And I just saw an interview with Cormier. Cormier's denying it because he doesn't want Stipe to know that that's a place where he got him. He's like, they were just body shots. But they were 11 of them, Stugatz, and they opened him up for the shot that finished him when Cormier had been dominating him over two fights. To me, that's an interesting fight on Saturday night, though not as interesting as what would headline if the lawyers weren't keeping me back from going after Dana White's bald head. In the next 90 minutes, you will get Bear Grylls. In the next 90 minutes, the show will talk to TJ Warren. And in the next 90 minutes, you will get Roy's thoughts on nut milk. But first, I know you're very excited, Mike, about Roy's thoughts on nut milk. You've been waiting for days. We will get to them, I think, maybe. But a tweeter writes in here, Lebatard show, for God's sake, I'll be that guy. You filthy, filthy casuals. Randy Couture barely has a 500 record. Brock Lesnar beat Frank Mir at UFC 100. And Fedor is the heavyweight. And then there's the goat emoji. Don't talk MMA unless it's Masvidal.
Is that guy?
And also a head in hands emoji. Yes, our apologies as well to Cain Velasquez. There are five or six guys that you can mention that probably deserve a place in this discussion, but Dana White's got two of them fighting on Saturday. And he says, that's for best ever. Take it up with him as you want to argue whether or not somebody is the third or fourth or fifth best heavyweight in the history of the division.
And bang on correction on the UFC 100 thing. I felt vulnerable going out there. Brock Lesnar did fight, but as you said, Frank Mir. However, you listed Fedor as one of the greatest UFC heavyweights of all time, and I dare you to go check out Fedor's UFC heavyweight record and see how that stacks up.
That's correct, sir. Okay, we might be filthy, filthy casuals, Nickradamus, but at Nickradamus, but we also know that Fedor was pound for pound considered the best, and then he fought in UFC. And that stopped being the case. But you got us, big guy. You threw out a Frank Mir. You hit us in the face with a Brock Lesnar. You gave us a goat emoji. You gave us a guy with a head in his hands. And, sports.
And I gave you Finney.
Yeah. Hey, Finney.
Mike Ryan, I wanted to talk to you because Mike is very excited about some music that is now in our lives. He has been wanting. Stugatz, I don't know if you've heard this. We don't have, I don't think, the musical rights to any of this. I don't
but
know.
Now, Dan, we didn't have the musical rights to it, but it is a commercial release. I am talking, of course, the Song of the Summer. You're wondering, what's a Song of the Summer since there's no nightlife anymore during a pandemic? It is very clearly the MLS anthem produced by Hans Zimmer. And it is such a banger of epic proportions. I know you guys were watching MLS's back specifically to hear this rockin' anthem. Well, now I am happy to report it is available across all streaming platforms. That's right, the Song of the Summer. Let's get it to number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Hans Zimmer, MLS Anthem. Parentheses, procession.
Are we allowed to play it one time? How does this work? When can we play it?
Yeah, because it's a commercial release. I just do it like I can only play it once, though. And since I don't have it in the system, you're just going to have to listen to it the way that I have over the last 6 months.
Okay, so wait a minute. So before you do this, because we only get the way this stuff works, the rights and stuff are really annoying, and it's affected the podcast, and it's affected the live show. There are all sorts of rules when it comes to playing music.
Are you sure this is the time you want to use it? I mean, this is the time you want to go to it?
We can use it tomorrow. That's the beauty of this whole setup.
Well, right. I feel like I want to hear it now, though, because can you explain to the people the history of Hans Zimmer? Can you explain to the people who haven't heard why it is that you're this excited specifically? Because it was pretty epic. We went down this conversational path a few months ago with John Tesh, who did that rocking anthem that he gave us the rights to that we can play whenever we want, even though that's not supposed to be the way that
that's
it works.
That's legally binding.
But
though,
he told us on air, Stugatz, he said that we could play the rockin' anthem of John Tesh. If you're not familiar with his work, it skews a little bit older. It is generally placid. He has flowing blonde hair, even in his 60s. He used to be the host of Entertainment Tonight, and he just wandered over, because he's this talented, he just wandered over to the NBA and said, you know what? I'm going to spit a little something into my answering machine. And you know what's going to happen? In all the years after that, the answering machine is going to die, but my song is not. It's going to echo across decades, even though I'm the host of Entertainment Tonight. And you, Lebatard Show with Stugatz, you are welcome to play it as much as you like because I own the mother bleeper. It brings a smile, a reluctant smile to the face of Nut Milk Roy. Look at him. He's weary and he's tired, but this song conjures up some childhood, some Tesh. Roy, you look like you're feeling something that resembles a corpse experiencing joy.
We're probably going to need some context soon on that whole Nut Milk thing.
Yes, we will get to that in a moment. But first, I just want to hear, yes, Stugatz.
I thought Roy was going to respond to you there with the verbal word. He did not. But what that song does is it just makes you shake your shoulders and your head from left to
right. That's what Roy was doing, forgetting for a moment that it's radio and we're not televised, and I was asking him a question. Also, he was assembling his important thoughts on Nut Milk, one would assume. However, I am ready to do it right now. I don't want to tease it anymore. Mike, I don't want to tease it anymore. I want to hear off of your phone right now, Hans Zimmer. I want MLS coverage. I want to see if it's as banging as John Tesh.
Oh, it's incredible. Why don't we kill two birds with one stone here? Get Roy's thoughts on Nut Milk to the tune of the MLS anthem by Hans Zimmer.
Okay, very good. We are combining a lot of things here. But, that's a little distracting, Mike. Because, all right, just start the song, and I will see whether I go to Roy during it. Build up the anticipation here. This is Hans Zimmer off the phone of Mike Ryan.
Nut Milk.
It's a more violent head nod. I mean,
Roy's thoughts on Nut Milk next. Bear Grylls going to join us in about 10 minutes. I want to ask him, among other things, you remember that Drew Brees story, the story that Drew Brees told about like just killing an alligator with Bear Grylls. So we're going to talk about that and other things. But we've also got TJ Warren scheduled at 12:30 Eastern, the guy that is, you know, the breakout star of the bubble, even a bubble that includes Devin Booker and Damian Lillard. And TJ Warren also, this happened. This is an actual thing that happened. This is the comedic pacing of this show. The gods laughing at me and the universe aligning. We had, for reasons that are hard to explain, a conversation about TJ Warren in which, you know, and it's going to be Pacers and Heat during the playoffs, and you're going to get Jimmy Butler against TJ Warren. But Jimmy Butler said, TJ Warren is not in my class. And then Stugat said something that at the time was statistically wrong. He said something that you will hear here. And then the first time TJ Warren played after that in front of us, he made it statistically right.
Yeah, Sugatz argued that he can get you 40 on any night.
45.
And this was Dan's response to that.
As you say, TJ Warren can give you 45, because I'm going to go the opposite on that. I'm going to say TJ Warren can't give you 45 on any given night.
And then the very first given night he was given, Dan, what did he give you?
So we've got to play that for him, right? That's got, but yes. Do we run the risk? We're not going to, he's not going to be mad at the very start of the interview.
You
right?
used to be a lot better at buttering up a guest, Dan. Well, let's try to go back to vintage Dan, butter you up, get you comfortable. And then here's the insult that I had before you joined us. But now we're friends now. And we can all laugh at me. Sorry to tell you how to do interviews, but it's been a rough go of it lately in terms of protecting our relationships.
It has. Yeah, he's not going to be mad at me. He's certainly going to be mad at you. I mean, he's going to love
Sugats me. Sugats has been his biggest ally, his strongest supporter in the media. You're a day one TJ Warren backer.
All right, so let's go and let's do this with TJ Warren at 12:30. But before we get to that and before we get to Bear Grylls, we have Roy's thoughts on nut milk. Give us what you have here, Roy. We've been waiting for this.
Yeah, so my wife sent me out on a task to find some nut milk for, you know, the family, right? So I go into the store and I'm bombarded by all these options. And that's not even including the grain milk, the rice milk and the oat milk. But we're talking about hazel milk. We're talking about cashew milk, almond milk. And obviously the thing is, this milk is for people who are like not into lactose, right? But I wonder whose bright idea it was to basically milk a nut.
Okay, so very good. Thank you for doing that.
I don't even know how you go about milking a nut.
I wish that that phrase had been how the last segment ended, because I forgot to mention that during the middle of everything that was happening at the last during the last segment, I very clearly and obviously pulled a groin. And it was Mike's.
What?
I love nut milk. I do.
I just, to his point, though, I've got no idea how you produce milk from a nut. No matter how hard you squeeze on a nut, I've never seen milk come out of it.
So I love macadamia nut milk. I love almond nut milk. Coconut milk.
Are you lactose intolerant, Dan?
I have discovered that my body feels a hell of a lot better if it doesn't have any dairy in it. So I am actually weirdly
put a bunch of nut milk in your body.
That is correct. Way too much. But I avoid the almond milk and the cashew milk, but the macadamia nut milk is good. Coconut milk is good. This is more than I thought we'd be talking about this, and it precludes us from being able to talk about Hank Williams Jr., which I'm disappointed by.
I never tried nut milk. It seems like you have nothing but nut milk. I mean, that's...
And broaden your horizons, Sugats, yeah.
Whatever happened to whole milk? How about all these milks get over themselves?
All right, very good. Put it on the poll, Tony, good please. Boy. How about all these milks get over themselves? Yes or no? Bear Grylls next.